Today's broadcast is so important that for the first time in the history of the Line of Fire, joining me on the broadcast today, my wife, my bride of more than 40 years, Nancy, will be talking about breaking the stronghold of food.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, many of you know that Nancy and I, for the first time, have written a book together, which we literally believe is going to be the difference between life and death, the hours and hours and hours that we put into it together to make it the very best that we could so that you could read it, that your lifestyle could be changed. As God has helped us change our lives, we believe your lives could be changed as well. And that's why Nancy, she's got a lot to say, but she's always behind the scenes. If there's anything good in my life outside of the Lord at work, it's because of Nancy's counsel and wisdom and faithfulness and loyalty over the years. So we're joined together, but she's not a public person. To get her to come on radio, I've been trying for 8+ years. She's finally consented because of the importance of the subject. And honey, when we first met, 1974, I was a believer already, 19 years old. You were not a believer when we first met. You're an atheist. Do you remember when you became an atheist?
Yes, when I was 8 years old, I was raised in a Jewish home. We went to the synagogue every week. And
Reformed Jewish home, right?
Reformed Jewish. Yeah. And when I went, I remember thinking, there really is no such thing as God, because there was no evidence of God in that place.
It was kind of like just nominal religion?
Just nominal religion. Went for the food. So afterwards.
How old were you? Now, your mom was married multiple times, 4 times, and this was your first stepfather, right?
Correct.
Brilliant man.
He was a genius, actually.
Genius. And he ended up being an inventor and a college president, university president, things like that. And he was involved in the synagogue, but it was a kind of a non-religious, Reformed Judaism, very liberal. How old were you? You remember when you came to that conclusion,
well,
there's no God?
I came to that conclusion when I was about 8 years old. I remember walking through my neighborhood and thinking to myself, I wish there was a God, because I loved the idea of God. And then I just came to the conclusion, but I really have to face reality. Even as an 8 year old, there is no God. And that was it.
And you've missed reality. I mean, you are absolute reality. It's not hype. And God was like, he was going to be the knight in shining armor. That was like the one you dreamt about, but he wasn't there.
Exactly.
All right, so when we met at 19. You were hardcore at that point as an atheist in the world. And here I was saved for a couple of years after, you know, drugs and my whole background. It's a miracle you even came into a church building at all. But you saw me in the front. What did you think when you first saw me?
Well, I saw this tall, skinny guy standing in the front, and I thought to myself, I could never date anyone that looked like that.
It wasn't exactly love at first sight. But when God saved you, what drew you to me?
Your spirituality. Yeah. It wasn't your looks, sorry to say.
But now, of course, it's my dynamic looks, right?
Right.
So it was really something. God brought us together. He radically saved you. We've been together now since 1974 and married since 1976. And in recent years, you started to get more and more concerned about my health.
Correct. You were getting overweight. You had high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and you pushed yourself very hard. Excuse me. And I was worried that, and you used to exercise a lot too, even though you were eating very unhealthfully. You somehow liked the exercise, and I was worried you would just exercise yourself to death, because your arteries were clogged and you were just going to promote a heart attack.
And the way I pushed in ministry, I'd like push myself.
Right. But it was an impossibility for you to eat healthy.
Yeah. So you can
explain what your diet was.
Before I knew you, when I was a little boy, I used to have Oreos for breakfast. I'd have 4 in the morning. I'd eat one whole, then I'd open one up and eat the cream first. And then that's how I remember. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. When I was in junior high, I had every day for lunch burger and fries, and many times at home at night, burger and fries. And by the time you knew me, I could eat pizza and chocolate every day for all of my life. When you would send me to the grocery store to get fruit and things, you had to tell me what it looked like. All right, we'll be right back.
want, for fire we please. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. For years, I've been trying to persuade my wonderful bride, Nancy, to join me on the air, and she's always said no. But finally, because of the importance of this subject, she has done what she's never done before and agreed to sit down and put together these radio shows for you as we talk about our new book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. It's available to the general public January 3rd, so new year, new you, but you can get it exclusively through our ministry to arrive in time for Christmas. Each one will be numbered. It'll be the first printing numbered, and we'll each sign it for you, so it'll be kind of a collector's edition. So in the first segment, we were talking about, you were getting more and more concerned about my health. I'd been a lifetime unhealthy eater, not so much a glutton, but just unhealthy eater. You tell me I was snacking all the time as I'd sit and write all night. I say, but look, I'm doing these great workouts. I must be in good shape. And you say, you're going to kill yourself with these crazy workouts. Your blood pressure's high. But it didn't paralyze me. Being overweight, it didn't paralyze me. I was still active. But when you got overweight, it had a paralyzing effect. Did you try to diet over the years and lose weight? Because I know you hated being overweight.
Right. I definitely hated being overweight. And I tried many times to lose weight, and which I was able to. There was no problem. I believe most of us can lose weight. We don't have metabolic problems. It's a matter of we lose the weight, or we lose the weight and then we gain it back, or we just can't stick to a diet. And so we just give up halfway through. So that was my problem. I was able to lose weight, but eventually I would gain it all back. And being overweight was totally paralyzing for me. Everybody's different. Mike wasn't like me. He has a very public life. He could go out and, as a fat person, and minister. And I know it bothered him a little bit, but it was nothing like it was with me. I was totally ashamed of the way I looked. I didn't want to leave the house. It really permeated every part of my life. Every part. When I was undisciplined in my eating, I was undisciplined in my spiritual life, in my house cleaning. Everything went by the wayside because it had such a profound effect on me holistically.
And it's the fact that I loved you, that I told you you're beautiful and special, that didn't do it.
No. That was very nice that you told me I was beautiful. But, you know, one look in the mirror would tell me that you were, I know you meant it, but I could see myself.
So, You were paralyzed. You didn't want to go out of the house. You were ashamed being overweight. How did you feel all the time when you were overweight?
Oh, physically, I was just, I started to feel very sick. I can't really put my finger on it, but my body ached from head to toe. I felt that there was something seriously wrong with me. I was starting to get scared for my health. And I wasn't just overeating. I mean, I would eat whatever I wanted. So if I wanted a half a stick of butter on a big plate of noodles, I would not hold back. I'd put that half a stick of butter in. If I wanted donuts, I'd have as many donuts as I wanted. If I wanted ice cream, I could eat as much as I wanted. I would eat and eat and eat until I was so full that I felt physically not sick, but in pain from eating so much.
Did you eat for emotional reasons? Like some people eat for comfort or for other things?
For me, it wasn't really for emotional reasons. I'd eat if I was happy and celebrating. I'd eat if I was sad or frustrated. I'd eat if I was, it didn't matter what the reason was. I'd eat all the time.
And would you say that biblically defined, or the way we'd understand the word, that you were a glutton?
Absolutely a glutton. No doubt about it. And but it was really, I think maybe it's a little different than some people, because I would just eat and eat and eat. I know there are some that are the same, you know, would eat the way I would, but it was a little unusual.
You know, I remember we'd go out for dinner together, and we'd eat out a lot, especially the kids being out of the house and me running all around and stuff. We'd eat out a lot. And I remember you'd start to have some rolls, biscuits at the beginning, and maybe a little salad or an appetizer, and you'd start to get full. And I'd say, "Hon, don't want to, if you eat too much now, you're going to get full." You'd be full at the beginning, but then somehow you'd finish the meal and then have dessert on top of it. And
exactly.
I always wondered, where you're a little person. Where'd you put all that?
I don't know. but and the thing is, I loved the taste of food. I absolutely loved it. But I would eat beyond my satisfaction. In other words, okay, a few truffle balls are good, but when you get to almost the end of the whole package of them, they don't taste so good anymore. But there was something in me that drove me to keep eating.
All right, so when I remember the times when you lost a lot of weight, maybe like 50, 60 pounds, but then you had to stop because your health was breaking down. So it wasn't just the yo-yo dieting, as it's called, of lose the weight, gain it, and then you gain even more. I think fat cells increase. It's actually harder to keep taking it off. But your health would break down. So even you go like totally vegan or something, you realize something was missing. How did you stumble upon the new lifestyle that we follow now?
Well, just to say that my health broke down, I would go on, you know, severe diets, even that seemingly healthy with lots of vegetables, and my hair would start falling out. And I was afraid that I'd end up being a fat, bald woman. I mean, that was my fear.
Well, I remember when the hair would start coming out in clumps, and we were terrified of it.
So that put a fear in me to even start any diet at all. I was afraid to start again.
So that's hanging over your head now.
Right.
So you're fat, you're paralyzed by it, you feel miserable, and you don't know a way out.
I don't know a way out. I didn't want to start a whole dieting routine. It was just like I'd done it before, and it just never worked. I would gain it all back. I just didn't have the incentive to just start a diet.
And then what about just eat a little bit less here, a little bit less there?
That doesn't work for me. There is no such thing as moderation in my life. That's the kind of person I am. I'm a bit extreme. So I couldn't just have one bite of a piece of cake or one piece of a chocolate or one taste of a little lasagna or something like that. There is no such thing as one bite, one taste. It is one bite of those highly palatable, salty, fatty foods, sugary foods, just creates some kind of, the switch goes on and it creates an incredible desire for more and more and more. I don't feel that way with peaches or broccoli. I will not want to see.
People don't have a fruit tooth, do they?
Well, I mean, you can, but it's self-limiting. How many cups of broccoli are you really going to want to eat? You just don't. It doesn't bring about that intense desire as a lint truffle ball.
Yeah. So you're not going to have a lust for food. And when it's healthy, it's just
very
a strange
difficult
thing.
To have a lust for food when it's healthy.
All right, so you got to a place a few years ago where you knew you had to do something, but you didn't know what to do. And I remember you do these radical diets, and your weight loss would just stall. You'd stop losing weight. It's like you're hardly even eating anything, and then the hair would start to fall out. So it was kind of a vicious cycle. And then you're looking online. What did you discover?
Well, I was so scared for my health. That was the thing that got me. It wasn't just, you know, being fat and not wanting to leave the house and not wanting to have a social life and just feeling like a total misfit. But I knew I had to do something for my health. And so I searched online and stumbled across Dr. Furman's website. I started reading everything and I thought, oh, just another gimmick, another diet. But I read more and more, and I was so impressed with his knowledge. He's an actual doctor. He has a practice. And impressed with the fact that through the years, he admittedly would change certain recommendations he had based on the newest scientific evidence. So that really impressed me that he was willing to say, you know what, they've changed this information. Now I'm going to steer you in a different direction. So I was very impressed with that.
So was this a diet?
Well, I mean, some might look at it as a diet, but no, it's a lifestyle. In other words, you have to come to a decision. How important is it to you to have vibrant health and to be thin and fit? Is it worth it to you to give up all the foods that you love for to live a healthy life? And that was the question for me. So, like I said, there was no moderation. There was no a little taste of this, a little taste of that. I had to change my diet completely to only eat healthy, life-giving foods in order to succeed.
And from a spiritual perspective, as stewards of our body, if God's given us healthy things that can make us thrive, and we've made all kinds of unhealthy things that are destroying our bodies, there's a spiritual aspect to it also.
Absolutely.
All right. So we've just got about a minute in this segment, but we'll come back to this on the other side of the break. But did you discover that your palate would begin to crave and enjoy the things that you fed it?
I thought that was an absolute impossibility. I had read about other people, and they would say, your taste buds will change, you'll learn to love these foods. And I thought, well, that works for them. It will never work for me. I cannot change. I don't like mushrooms. I will never like mushrooms. And I found that by disciplining myself and actually having to force myself to eat certain foods, that I learned to love the foods that I once hated.
All right, we come back. I want you to tell a story, an amazing story about what happened when you first cooked up some super healthy stuff. But friends, our book, written jointly, Breaking the Strongholds of Food, How We Overcame Food Addictions and Discover a Whole New Way of Life, will tell our story. It's humorous, it's inspirational, but it's practical. A producer of a TV show was reading it and said, wow, this is the most practical book I've read on this subject. You'll find it practical, inspirational, biblical. Get the book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. You can pre-order a copy and get it before Christmas. Go to thelineoffire.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, I know what some of you are saying. Mike, we like you, but why haven't you had your wife on before? She's amazing. We want to listen to her all the time. Trust me, I've been working for over eight years to get her to join me, and it's only because of our joint book that we worked really hard on together. And Nancy worked, I can't tell you how every word was polished to make the maximum impact, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. Michael and Nancy Brown, feels nice to have our names together on the book. So, hon, when you made this lifestyle change, you were following Dr. Joel Fuhrman, F-U-H-R-M-A-N, his Eat to Live philosophy, and you had read about nutrition for years and years. I mean, you knew all kinds of stuff about it. I didn't even know what the words meant. And now you're seeing change come, but you realize you got to get rid of all the stuff that you used to love eating and eat all this new stuff that you didn't like eating. So you cooked something. What happened?
Well, let me just back it up and say that initially when I started changing my diet, I did not have the thought, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. Uh-huh. I couldn't. I thought, okay, I'm going to have like cheat days. I'm going to have or cheat weekend or something like that. I just could not give up everything. But I got to the point where I realized I need to toe the line a little bit more. So I was going to go wholeheartedly for everything. I went to the supermarket. I bought tons of vegetables. There was hardly any room in my refrigerator. With everything that I purchased. So I made a bunch of soups and stews, and I couldn't wait to get my mouth on that spoon to taste.
You made a big, like a
big... Oh, it was the biggest, I don't know how many quarts it was, but it was a big pot. And I took one taste of that, and I thought, this is absolutely disgusting. I cannot eat this.
You almost gagged on it, didn't you?
Yes. I thought, I can't do this.
And you think I'm going to eat this the rest of my life?
Right. There's no way. I thought, and I think I didn't start crying, but I
started crying once with my journey.
But I was on the verge, and I thought, how am I going to do this? Because I knew there was nothing else out there that was going to help me regain health. So I didn't have the heart to throw it away. So I froze individual servings of the soup, you know, put it in my freezer, and I thought, okay, I'll just, you know, try something else for a while and leave it in there and see what happens. So months later, after I'd been eating healthfully for a bit, I took out the soup and defrosted it and tasted it, and it was absolutely delicious.
Seriously?
Seriously.
How do you feel about it today?
I love it. Amazing. So the thing is, I thought, I'm not one of those that can retrain my taste buds. It's just not going to work. But I was determined enough that I was going to force myself. I was going to give it my all. So I'd force myself to eat mushrooms. I'd force myself to eat foods I didn't like. And also, there's the recommendation of very, very little salt. And I was a saltaholic. I salted everything. I mean, we're talking teaspoons and teaspoons of salt on meals. So having food with little to no salt was very, very hard for me for quite a while, but I forced myself. I made smoothies and added, I tried to hide mushrooms in them. That was my first attempt at getting mushrooms down. And you're able to make them in a smoothie. If you put in a few cooked mushrooms, maybe two small cooked mushrooms, you're able to do that, and you don't taste them, you don't feel them, they get ground up. And so that was how I got the mushrooms down. But eventually, I actually learned to like mushrooms. Mm-hmm. And I would just eat a plate of mushrooms.
Yeah, a doctor told me years ago, Mike, your taste buds, your palate will crave whatever you feed it. And it is amazing. Like, I'll walk to the grocery store like, look at those apples. I'm going to get an apple. I think, well, I can't wait to eat this. It's stuff I never would have touched or barely touched before. Now, you started to feel the benefits pretty quickly, eating healthily. The weight started to come off steadily, regularly. What started to happen to just energy, all that? What started to happen to you?
Oh, my energy totally changed. I had zero energy and zero gumption to get out of the house. And my energy started to soar. I just felt physically better. The pain in my body started to leave. I just felt clearer in my head. Life just took on a more chipper atmosphere.
It's like the sun was shining.
Yeah, it was just much better. And the other thing about being in control of your eating, when I was out of control, it wasn't a happy time. I mean, I didn't like not being in control of myself.
It felt like your life was like a thunderstorm all the time.
Right. So the aspect of being in control and disciplined was a real positive thing.
It helped
for
your
me.
Spiritual life too.
Right.
All right. We only got about 3 minutes, but you were doing great, but you have worked it out that, like, whatever, once a month, or that you could have a cheat day and you're going to know exactly what you're going to eat, how much. Did that work?
For a little while, it worked. But it started to get to the point where one day became 2 days, and then 2 days became 3 days. When I whetted that appetite again for those forbidden foods, it opened up a Pandora's box, and I couldn't stop it. And so there was no way to do anything like that in moderation for me. Now, there are some who can have a little taste of something now and then, and it's not bad for them. But for me and for many, many other people, having those foods just opens up the floodgates, and then you become out of control.
And you got involved in some online forums with others who had changed their relationship to food and were doing great. And then, like, hey, I've got vacation, I'm just going off for a few days, or birthday party, I'm just going to splurge a little. And you'd read the same thing over and over about them.
They would always fall, 100 times out of 100. It was just, you know, you learn, if I'm going to be 62. Oh, that sounds awful.
You look amazing.
I'm going to be 62, and I've learned over the years that, for decades after dieting, I've proven to myself that 100% of the time when I eat those foods, it drags me into overeating every single time. So as a 62-year-old, I'm smart enough to know now I can't do that.
You know, we have a chapter in the book called Blessed with the Gift of Being All In. And by God's grace, December 17th, 71, I told the Lord I'll never put a needle in my arm again. I was free from that day on. Why would I go back to it? Well, August 24th, 2014, by God's grace, I changed my lifestyle, my relationship to food, and I haven't deviated. We have a whole chapter in the book of confessions of a recovering food addict. And you know, all the time as I travel, people see me and the radical change, and I lost 95 pounds. And as people said to me, I'm getting younger. They can't believe it. And they'll say to me, Dr. Brown, how often do you cheat? You know, the guy's picking me up at the airport in the pastures. I look at him, I said, how often do you cheat on your wife? And that's the way I've looked at it. That's the way you've looked at it in terms of no deviation. And the rewards are such that it's like, first, we enjoy what we're eating. But what sacrifice is there to be as vibrant as we are? Do you think this book can help people make a change if they'll do what we say?
I do. But there has to be a commitment. I mean, it is not an easy road. You know that. You've experienced that. Tell them about your crying.
I tell you what, you know, we're out of time now. You're like, I can't listen. Tell you what, you catch the rest of the show. Just go to thelineoffire.org. You can catch the rest of the show later today. If you miss any of it, you can keep listening on your cell phone or tablet or computer, lineoffire.org. Yeah, I'll tell you about my moment of breaking, but the fact is, it's a joy to live this new life. And the book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, will tell you how. Go to thelineoffire.org. Order your copy today. We'll get it to you signed, numbered, in time for Christmas.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. It's actually a historic day. We've been on live daily radio over 8 years, but this is the very first time that I've been joined in the studio with my bride of 40 years plus, Nancy. We met in 1974. I had been saved 2.5 years when Nancy and I met. She was a Jewish atheist. Her mom had been married 4 times, and it's miraculous she even came into a church building. God brought us together, saved her, then brought us together, and we've been best friends since 74, married since 1976. And you don't like the saying when people say there's no such thing as an atheist. You actually take exception to that.
I do, because I know that I was one.
And so it wasn't, as a little girl, you concluded it'd be great if there was a God, but there was no God.
Correct. That's exactly what I thought. And it was very much ingrained in my brain that there was no such thing as God. Anyone that believed in God was ignorant and misinformed and weak. That was a big thing with me, that the people who believed in God were weak and they needed a crutch.
And you were strong.
And I was strong, but they needed a crutch and I didn't need that crutch. And I was very proud about it, very obnoxious about it, and really had a lot of disdain for anyone who believed in God.
Now we're going to be talking about our new book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. And that's why Nancy's on the air with me, because of the importance of this book and getting it to as many people as possible. It's literally going to be the difference between life and death. But when we first met, for some reason, so I wanted to witness to you, share the gospel with you. We were both 19 years old. And for some reason, we ended up talking about demons and stories about demons and things like that. And how is it that you actually came to believe in God? It was kind of an unusual route the way God opened your eyes.
Well, I felt I knew that there was no God. But the more I heard about demons or evil, I actually believed that there was evil. That to me was a no-brainer. And then came to the conclusion that there can't just be evil. There has to be the opposite of that. There has to be good. There has to be God. And through a series of events, I just came to believe. It just came on me. I believe God had mercy on me and kind of imparted something in my spirit. So he did it, and I just responded.
The light went on.
He turned the light on.
I don't think, do you have any recollection of me giving you arguments to prove the existence of God or anything like that?
No. It's just God just came in of his own accord and gave me faith.
Amazing.
I didn't ask for it. He gave it.
Amazing. So that was 1974. We've been together ever since, 2 kids, 4 grandkids. What an amazing journey. When you changed your own life, you had been terribly overweight, a yo-yo dieter, lose weight, gain it back, lose weight, gain it back, lose weight, start to lose your hair because of unhealthy eating. And then you're kind of paralyzed by being overweight, hated going out of the house, no energy, pain from head to toe. You made some radical lifestyle changes. You started eating totally healthily, only healthy foods, heavily plant-based and stuff. But you knew I could never do it. We knew it wasn't a possibility for me.
It wasn't even in the realm of possibility.
Why not?
Well, you are a little stubborn.
Me?
And when it came to food, there was nothing that you were going to try. You already didn't like it before you even tried it. There was just no option for that.
So I had a few foods I ate, and that's about it.
Right. I had zero hope for that. But I was so concerned about your health that I started to pray. And really, really pray for you that God would give me a way to help you and would touch you. And he worked. He did.
And something happened in 2014. I was crying out to God because I was just embarrassed by being overweight. I thought, I'm disciplined. I love the Lord. I'm a servant of the Lord, but I'm overweight. It felt funny and wrong to me. And I realized my blood pressure is getting high. That's dangerous. I can't play with that. I started crying out to God for breakthrough. Nancy was crying out. We didn't know the other one was crying out. But I said to her, it was towards the end of August, a third week of August of 2014, I said to her, my plan is not working.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is my prayer that your life will be changed as Nancy's life, as my life has been changed, as we changed our relationship to food and eat super healthy diets, not a diet, lifestyle, which has literally transformed our lives. This is Michael Brown. You're listening to The Line of Fire, the first book we've ever written together, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. And after more than 8 years of daily radio broadcasting, the first time Nancy's ever joined me in the studio. And I had to just urge her and say, look, I know you like to be a private person. You have a lot to say. You like to say it behind the scenes. I said, but people's lives depend on it. And because of that, we're sitting here together. So you were crying out to God for God to give you a creative way to help me. I'm crying. And you knew the way I run, the way I push, the way I work out, being as heavy as I am, I got up to 275 pounds. I'm almost 6'3", but almost 275 pounds. I was so proud of my big arms, but it was mainly fat, you know? I thought, look at how muscular, it was mainly fat.
I would tell you that all the time.
Yeah, you weren't impressed. But I mean, I worked out heavily, heavily, and traveled and pushed to the limit, but I was getting tired. For the first time ever, you noticed I was not as excited about life.
No, he was not as excited about ministry, and he just would come home from trips and just be totally wiped out. And also in the back of my mind, I had the thought, his father died of a massive heart attack at the age of 63. And 63 for Mike was just around the corner. And knowing that he had the high cholesterol and high blood pressure, I felt like he was just a ticking time bomb.
Now, I want you to hear this, friends. I went from 275 pounds... August 24th, 2014, less than 8 months later, I had lost 95 pounds. My blood pressure went from 149 over 103 down to about 105 over 65. Cholesterol from the low 200s down to 123 with the good high and the bad low. I used to get headaches 3-4 times a week, haven't had a headache in over 2 years. Constant lower back pain, that's gone. I had sleep apnea. I had to travel with a breathing machine around the world and figure out how to, you know, plug in a breathing machine in a small hotel in India. Don't need a breathing machine anymore. My life was radically transformed. But initially, Nancy and I thought, there's no way. I don't, all the foods I like, I can't eat anymore. And I'm addicted to them. Lifetime chocoholic and pizza and pasta and burgers and fries, and fried chicken, you know, all this stuff. I'm addicted to that. Like bread and can't have that. And the foods I need to eat, I don't eat. And plus traveling, I'm going around the world. How am I going to find the right food in this country, that country? So you were crying out to God for me, because it's a spiritual thing ultimately, and practical and spiritual. And you're asking God to give you creative ideas. When I said to you, my plan is not working, you said to me, all right, just eat what I give you.
Right. I said, just give me complete control of your food and your diet.
That's hard.
Only eat what I feed you, and I guarantee you will lose weight and be healthy.
And in the portions you gave it to me.
Yes.
All right. So, I mean, like, I could eat healthy, raw nuts and things
right,
like that.
Right, but you couldn't eat cups and cups of nuts.
Right, so maybe two small handfuls in a day.
Right.
And instead of a brownie, like a chocolate thing, you made something.
Oh, I devised all sorts of things, avocado brownies and all sorts of healthy things. I would make stews and I would sneak all the foods that he hated into those stews. I would make like a marinara sauce, but I'd hide broccoli and beans in it and mushrooms and all sorts of things. He wouldn't know that they were in there.
And at least I liked salads. I used to have a small salad every day, but now I get these giant salads with a healthy dressing with all kinds of good stuff. And suddenly, the weight starts coming off, and suddenly I'm starting to like these things, but there's no way I could go the rest of my life like this. Remember, we would talk about, like, after a month or 3 months.
Kept planning on, oh, I think I'm going to have pizza or I'm going to have this. And he kept putting it off and putting it off until he hasn't had it. And how long has it been?
Well, since August 24th of 2014. So
right.
It's two years, 2 months plus as of this broadcast.
And his mentality is, why play with fire? What if he awakens that sleeping giant by having that little taste of pizza?
And, you know, we have one of our sons-in-law. Lifestyle and diet also, and then decided out with his son that he was going to really splurge and have a big steak. Remember what happened to him?
He got very sick.
While eating, he started to get sick because his body wasn't used to that. So I'll have a little grilled chicken or something like that, just plain once a week. And, you know, other things, I make a pseudo pizza with a Zika bread, healthy bread, which I'll have once or twice a week. And just an organic red sauce, and it's a fake cheese, it's something healthy. And it's delicacy to me. I love it. And why? What if you went and had one of your old meals and you got sick, so it does no good? What if you had it and it's disgusting? All right, well, you already are free. What if you had it and it was delicious?
Exactly. That's a big, big problem. Because once you fall, you have no promise that tomorrow you're going to be able to get back up. It could be another year before you get yourself back together again.
And when you made the mistake of thinking you could have a little splurge day here, a little splurge day there, it took quite a while. It was much harder the second time to get on track than the first
time. Much harder. I learned my lesson. You just don't do it. I cannot play with fire. And I know most of you don't want to hear this, but the only way to freedom is through abstinence. That's the look. If I had a problem with alcohol, you know, and I thought, well, I can have a little wine. There's nothing wrong with having a little wine with dinner. But if I'm an alcoholic, I can't have a little wine with dinner. It's impossible. You just can't play with it. So in the same way, if you have a problem with food and those foods create an appetite for more, why would you eat them?
And if we look at it as sinful, because we know the health risks. I mean, you know this 10 times better than me. Look at the health, and we have all the stats in Breaking the Stronghold of Food. Look at the health risks of smoking cigarettes. Look at the health risks of drinking. And then you look at the health risks of obesity. I mean, those others are way down. Obesity, way, way, way up. So if we're supposed to be stewards of our body, glorify God in our body, sexual purity, yes, but glorify God in our body and be good stewards of what God's entrusted to us. If we know these foods are unhealthy, they're addictive, they're destructive. It was harder for me to get off chocolate than to get off heroin. I had to pray through 3 days of miserable food addictions and food withdrawals. It was harder to get off that than get off heroin. So if I know for
me... And they have done scientific studies that prove that with sugar compared to cocaine, that it's a more intense reaction.
Yeah, we have it in the book about rats eating Oreos and cocaine. They're addicted equally to both. So if I realize it's wrong, why play games with it? And especially when you're free, doesn't it feel good to be free and to be...
It feels good to be free and be in control.
And what happened? I'm going to talk about, you wanted me to talk about the crisis that I experienced in my life, but you kept telling me, you know, I'd lost 20 pounds, I was feeling great. And with each new thing, I'd show, hey, let's lift up some dumbbells and walk around the house, and this is what I was carrying. I remember when I got to 60 pounds, and our grandson Andrew, who's 13 now, but when he weighed 60 pounds, I put him on my back and went up and down the steps and did push-ups, and think of walking around with an extra 60 pounds. But you kept telling me, something happens when you hit your ideal weight.
It's like a miracle. It's hard to explain, but as each pound that I lost, you know, I get down to a certain amount, and you know, it was good, but it wasn't all the way down where I needed to get.
And it's just a normal weight. In other words, the normal weight that we should be at, and that past generations would be at. When we get there, people think
right. But when I got down to my ideal weight, I felt like I was floating. You just wanted to skip everywhere. There's just a lightness that comes on you, and you know, this is the way I'm supposed to be. This is where I feel really, really good. It's like a magic thing.
And you kept telling me about it, and I kept feeling better and better. But I remember when I got right at my weight, I mean, to this day, when I'm in the grocery store, I have to remind myself, don't run down the aisles, especially when I have a cart, you know. Don't run down the aisles. I've been at airports, and I'm running through the airport just for the joy of doing it. It's an amazing thing.
Because your body feels so good. You physically feel just good in your skin. There's just something about it.
Yeah. And this is the way God made us. And in this last segment, I'll talk about by crisis that you get such a kick out of. While I'm crying in the book, you're laughing. But the book has both of our voices, and I had two editors working on it, women, when it was first just my voice, and they said something's really missing because we relate to food differently than you do. So it's important that our readers hear from a male perspective and a female perspective. Yeah, so do you think that as we both talk, that different readers are going to be able to find themselves either in my experience or in your experience?
Oh, absolutely. But not because male, female, but I just think there's a different... we both have different personalities and different strengths and weaknesses, and my food problem is very, very different from yours. And I think that there are a lot of people out there, men and women, who are thoroughly obsessed with food, and it's controlling their lives. It's ruining their lives. It's ruining their health. It's ruining their relationships. They sneak food. They hide food. They're ashamed of the way they eat. They're ashamed of their bodies. They have the added burden of knowing that it's sin before God, but yet they just keep doing it. So there's that constant burden, and not just the physical weight, but the emotional weight.
All right, friends, get the book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. Go to thelineoffire.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, the day I've been waiting for years, sitting here in my studio with my bride of 40-plus years, Nancy, as we've written a book together, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, and finally I've convinced her to join me on the radio broadcast. And she wants me to tell a story, so you've got to get the book and read the chapter, I can't, to get the whole picture. But I'll tell you the story briefly, and then I've got a bunch of questions for Nancy in this last segment. Remember, the book is available to the general public January 3rd. You could order it at Amazon or at your local bookstore. New year, new you. But you can pre-order a signed, numbered copy, so it's kind of a collector's edition from the first printing. And we have a special shipment from the publisher. Only us will get it to you before Christmas. Go to thelineoffire.org to order. Okay. You wanted me to tell my story about hitting bottom. It's about 2.5 weeks into my new lifestyle. I've gotten rid of all the old foods, only eating healthily. I took a nap after radio, was going to teach a night class. I woke up from my nap, and I was suddenly craving something sweet. I had to have something sweet. I used to be a chocoholic basically my whole life. And I thought, okay, craving something sweet. I've been reading. That means that's good. Fruit. You're supposed to have fruit. But somehow we had no fruit in the house. So I had to go teach a night class. I get in the car. I'm thinking maybe at some convenience store they'll have some fruit, cut up watermelon or something. Nothing. I'm thinking, well, I got to have something. I got to have something. So I knew I wasn't supposed to have fruit juices because they could have sugar, but I find these Naked juices that had a lot of good stuff in them. Naked was the brand name. So I drank half of one of those bottles, but I remember I thought, I cannot live like this the rest of my life. Never have a nice slice of pizza the rest of my life. Never have chocolate the rest of my life. Never. I thought, I cannot. I'm on my way to teach a class, and I hit bottom. Now, literally, I've got 2 minutes before class. I'm sitting in the parking lot before going in. I'm watching myself from the outside as this is happening to me, and I literally broke down crying. I said, God, I broke down crying. And Nancy, you're sitting here laughing. I literally broke down crying, tears streaming down my cheek. God, I can't. But that was the moment of breakthrough. I've never had a crisis since. I don't feel deprived. I thrive. This is a joy. It's not a sacrifice. I love living and eating the way I do. Brand new life by God's grace. But I remember as it happened, watching from the outside, said, good, you come to the end of yourself, come to the beginning of God's grace. Hon, we really believe that God will help people as they read the book, as they put things into practice. It's a challenge, but this is absolutely doable.
Absolutely doable. You know, some of you listening think, there's no way. I can't do that. I can't change my eating style. I've been eating these foods for decades. I would ask you, how important is your health? How important is your life? Is it worth it? Is the chocolate really worth it to destroy your life through food? It's not. And it's not a pipe dream. It's not just, there's not something special about Mike and I where we're stronger than the rest of you and we can do it, but you can't. It's just, how important is it to you to get the job done? Are you willing to make the sacrifice? If you do, it will take a few weeks to get yourself acclimated and to get strong. But once you start to get rid of those foods, there'll be a freedom, there'll be a strength, the desires will diminish, and as long as you keep on track, you'll be safe. But if you open your, like I said in the earlier segment, abstinence is the key. There's no way around it. You can't, for many of you out there, for many of you, you are addicted to food and there's no other way. But you can do it. If I can do it, if Mike can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, we were, in a sense, a poster boy and poster girl for bad eating. Me, not so much a glutton, but lifetime of bad eating habits, the worst foods, that's what I ate all of my life. And you, just the capacity to gorge and eat and eat and eat. So what about someone, say, with heart disease or clogged arteries? Can a lot of this stuff be reversed
through
healthy eating?
Absolutely can be reversed. There's many articles and documentation about people who have just changed their eating style and their arteries have cleared up. They've had their blood pressure normalized. Even people that were on their way to bypass surgery, when they changed their diet, they no longer needed bypass. Isn't it easier to change your diet than to end up having your ribs cracked open and your heart put on a bypass machine so that they can, you know, give you fake arteries? Isn't that the extreme thing? To go through that kind of surgery as compared to, you know, stop eating M&Ms and chocolate cake. I think the surgery is a much more extreme thing.
And, you know, for me, when I analyze things, because every day you'd send me the first few weeks a new testimony, someone, and a lot of these people, not believers, just people who said, I have to change. And it was unbelievable. The pictures, the before and after. Now we have pictures like that, the before and after. And the lifestyle change and everything was like shocking what happened to them. And then good quotes, powerful quotes of motivation, just from a medical doctor talking about health. I realized food was my reward, that was built into everything for me. So the idea of no chocolate cake, no ice cream, no, it's like there's no joy in life then. There's no joy in life. Why do I want to take the grandkids to the movies if I can't have popcorn and nonpareils? Why am I going to preach all day when I can't go back to the hotel afterwards and heat up some popcorn and then have some, you know, order a pizza in? And I realized that I had food rewards built into everything in life. And I said, God, you're the joy of my life. You're the center of my life. And when the addictions were broken, it's just the sun is shining. Things are changing. And people say type 2 diabetes, is that reversible?
Absolutely reversible. And most people get type 2 diabetes when they get into their 40s and 50s. And it seems to be the standard thing now. You just get type 2 diabetes. Totally avoidable.
And maybe there's some, we know there are other causes. There can be other reasons people get sick or die. But maybe here's a guy 50 years old. He's 50 pounds overweight. He's got that big, you know, chunk of weight on his stomach and now growing around his chest, a precursor to heart disease, cancer. Maybe he'll never live to see his grandkids. Maybe he won't get to walk his daughter down the aisle. All because of food. Doesn't make sense, does it?
No, it's not. It's not worth the price that you pay.
No. And then doesn't God call us to live lives of self-control?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it is fruit of the Spirit. So in our book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, we tell you our stories. So it works like I'm talking and then...
And then I interrupt him all the time.
And I want to point, I'm crying.
But I'm being really good on the radio.
Oh yeah. But look, I'm crying in the book and you're laughing.
That's right.
Oh, and then there's the chapter where I talk about all the things I tried. Over the we can't get into that now. But I remember you inserted the comment, I can't believe what I'm reading.
You know, some of the things I didn't know about, he snuck these things into
gimmicks,
the house.
Gimmicks, weight loss or fat reduction cream.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work. So the book is amusing. We tell our stories. It's inspirational. It's hard-hitting. We talk truth. It's practical. And then we refer you to other resources, recipes, other books that you can read that'll get you into all these different things that change lifestyle. And then in the back of the book, we got your whole story in one place, which is incredible. And also keys for breaking the stronghold of food you lay out. So together, we believe lives are going to be dramatically changed. And from our hearts, as Nancy and I have said repeatedly, it's not about selling books. It's about changing lives and saving lives. So go to the website, thelineoffire.org. Remember, if you want to get multiple copies and give them out, just tell us who you want them to sign them to. So it's our first joint book. This is our first joint interview. And we are convinced it'll be, what, the 27th, 28th book I've written, something like that. This is probably going to be the most effective book I've ever written. That's because my bride plays a vital role in it. Breaking the Stronghold of Food. Get it before Christmas through our website, thelineoffire.org. My bottom line, God made our bodies to live and thrive. When we do it the right way, we'll experience His blessings.